Today's story about Jesus leaving the seashore behind and heading to the synagogue to teach is obviously about authority, because it says so twice. But it gets a little complicated. Yes, it's about authority, and it's about people recognizing Jesus' authority. That part makes sense. But it's also about a new authority that the people recognize, something different. I'm not sure they quite understand it, actually. And they do recognize it as a new authority and say so, but I'm also sure that we misunderstand that authority. Because for this new authority to actually be new authority, it has to look different from the old authority. And we, even 2,000 years later, continue to struggle with our understanding of authority, right? And understanding what is actually new about Jesus' authority. Right? We see it through the lens of the old authority. Right? So let's dig into why. Right? The hardest part of the story is what to make of the unclean spirit, the thing that's going on in the middle of the story. And I don't mean make of it in the do you believe in demons way, right? Let's save that for another day. I mean in how the unclean spirit responds to Jesus. And for me, this is the central question. Jesus commands the spirit, be silent and come out of him. But the spirit is not silent when it comes out, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice. So if Jesus is so powerful that he can command spirits and make them do what he says, why does the spirit howl? Why does it shriek? Right? It's not even sort of muffled as if it's something is holding its mouth shut, right? This is loud crying. Right? So then, if for this exorcism to be proof of Jesus' supreme authority over, right, it means then we have to admit that we seem to have a different understanding of authority and what Jesus' authority is than they do. Right? We today still think of authority in the old way, and dealing with this piece makes the rest of it make sense. So I struggled with this question, this idea, right, about Jesus' power over the unclean spirit and how this control over the spirit is not total control. I struggled with what that means for Jesus and his authority. And then I realized that this exorcism is the revealing of the teaching that Jesus was just doing. Okay? So one of the things that we take for granted about the gospel stories is that they are very simple and come out and reveal themselves easily. Right? John is particularly apt to be seen that way. That just sort of rambles out. And Matthew and Luke can seem pretty straightforward too sometimes, but Mark is different. Mark is this brilliantly precise writer. And Mark often does not say what we're supposed to take away from this story, often providing instead a visual moment to experience. It is very much in line with the way that Jesus teaches in parables, right? Not establishing rules, not saying this is what we are to do, but instead telling stories, inviting us to see it. So here we read that Jesus teaches them something before the unclean spirit interrupts. He has authority before that moment. but we don't actually read what it is, right? Only that it is, that it has established this authority of Jesus as uncommon and different, an authority at odds with the scribes. So keep up with me, just one more minute, because I promise we'll circle back around. It'll make sense, I promise. Right. Now we have to deal with the scribes, right? So the job of the scribes was to physically write out scripture, right? Scribe being scribing, right? So they're writing out the scripture. And because they were virtually the only people in society who could read and write, right? Virtually, I mean, in this town, they probably were literally the only ones. And they spent their days immersed in scripture. They were the de facto authority on scripture, right? It makes sense, doesn't it? Imagine going and getting arrested and not calling a lawyer, right? You know, the one who actually knows the laws, you'd call that guy, right? Same way with scripture. And remember, not even the rabbis were universally literate, right? They're trained to memorize the Torah, right? Not read it. So when Jesus is being compared with the scribes, he's being compared to the established authority on scripture. But they say that Jesus is a different kind of authority. He offers them a new authority, an authority beyond the scripture, beyond the physical, beyond the literal. This means, right, that it's beyond the purity codes and beyond the predictable confines of authority as they know it. That Jesus is doing more than this, that it's not just that, right? So Jesus is definitely not a scribe. Now, the teaching we don't hear about in Mark, the teaching that establishes his authority in the synagogue, right? This teaching from Mark revealed to us in Jesus' response to the unclean spirit. So the spirit thinks Jesus is going to teach them or has been teaching them like the scribes, right? He's going to put Jesus to the test, encouraging he would, if he were responding like the scribes, he would encourage them to run away from this guy, to stay away from him, away from the person possessed. Right? It thinks, the spirit thinks, it will be able to destroy this person in solitude because that's what the scribes would teach. But Jesus is different, and he's teaching something different. He's teaching compassion for the possessed, not isolation. He's teaching holiness is about relationship and maintaining relationship rather than maintaining ritual purity. Jesus then is teaching relationship and the authority that comes from relationship. Then he goes further and shows to the people what true relationship looks like, right? That it is not a command barked at a servant, right? It is a provocation and encouragement. It is a command without control, right, over the person or the spirit. It's telling the other what needs to happen and knowing that it will. Do we dare to accept this new authority of Jesus? Can we accept the idea that the command doesn't mean control? That not only Jesus' authority, but God's authority is based on relationship, on being in relationship. Unlike our desire for God to be in charge, doing it all for us, right? Making the world as a tyrant would, or the dictator that we want to blame when things go wrong. Jesus presents a new authority for God, for us, for all of us. A glimpse into God's dream for us, the kingdom, where we are not forced to do the right thing, but choose to do the good thing. Where we aren't forced to be fair, but we strive instead for justice. Where our hope is in the one who brings us out of tyranny, right? A people liberated, redeemed, renewed, working together in love and devotion, that we might live together with this new authority.